You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this Film Friday here on Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Drew Brees will be your starting quarterback for your New Orleans Saints as they host the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to address a lot of different topics about this today, but we're going to start with three in particular in our first segment. Should we be worried about Drew Brees' health? Should we be worried about the offensive line? And we're going to talk about how this actually makes Taysom Hill better. Then we'll hit our film study notes for the Kansas City Chiefs' last three games, highlighting a weakness on defense, a weakness on offense. Oh, yes, there is one. And what to do about Travis Kelce. Then we'll wrap up our show with our three keys to victory, where I'm back on a soapbox this week. Let Kamara cook. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at Locked On NFL. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees is back as the team sets to host the Kansas City Chiefs, but should we be concerned about Drew Brees' health, and did the Saints rush him back? That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. A blend of excitement and concern Friday morning when the news broke that Drew Brees is expected to start against the Kansas City Chiefs and make his return after being out with 11 rib fractures and, of course, the collapsed lung as well. So the big question that I've seen everyone asking is this too soon? Are the Saints rushing Drew Brees back? And there's evidence for both answers here, yes or no. The idea behind yes is that a lot of specialists have talked about the fact that he's not going to reach what is considered optimal recovery until even after the regular season, and that week 16 would have been more advantageous. But then there's the argument on the other side that week 16 is really only a four-day difference, because the Saints play on Sunday and then turn around and play Friday as well. So what you're really giving or taking here is a matter of 4 days, Monday through Friday, in between those two games. How much of a difference does that really make is something that maybe the medical staff might have weighed in this decision. And speaking of the medical staff, one of the things that should make you feel confident about going into this game with Drew Brees at the helm is the fact that it sounds like the New Orleans Saints have been pretty convinced that Drew Brees was going to be the starter as early as Sunday night after the Philadelphia Eagles game. That means that there must have been some knowledge of medical clearance that early in order for them to have that expectation coming into this week. So it's not like it was just a Friday morning decision that, oh, we saw enough from him on Thursday, we feel like he's good to play. The Saints made that decision as early as Monday or Tuesday, according to Diana Russini, and according to one of our favorites, Nick Underhill, they've been planning this since pretty much after Sunday's game. One of the next big questions that I've continued to see all over Twitter and that a lot of Saints fans are concerned about is whether or not they should be worried about Drew Brees playing behind this offensive line that has given up 9 sacks and Taysom Hill has taken a few more as well over the course of the time that Taysom has been the starter. But you have to consider the difference between Drew Brees at quarterback and Taysom Hill at quarterback and allow that to be a part of the context when discussing the offensive line. Drew Brees' average time to throw weeks 1 through 9 in the 9 games that he started was 2.46 seconds. Taysom Hill, in the 4 games that he played, extended that time to throw to 2.62 seconds. And Taysom's time to sack, according to Pro Football Focus, was 3.89 seconds. The offensive line was having to block for more than a full second longer in many occasions, including times where Taysom Hill himself stepped into the pressure of defensive linemen, because as Deuce Windham acknowledged in one of his film studies on Twitter, that he wouldn't run an escape from outside the pocket. He would try to run between offensive linemen and then end up running into a defensive lineman in turn. The other thing to keep in mind is how often Drew Brees gets the ball out within in less than 2.5 seconds, as opposed to Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill only got 43% of his passes out in 2.5 seconds or less in the 4 games that he started, and only had an 82.9 passer rating when he threw those passes. Drew Brees gets 54% of his passes out in that amount of time with a 114.8 passer rating. With Taysom Hill at quarterback for, remember, less than half the amount of games that Drew Brees was at quarterback, there were 9 sacks allowed by the offensive line, according to Pro Football Focus, 46 pressures, and 11 penalties committed over 180 pass blocking snaps. That is a 28% pressure rate allowed and a 0.05% sack rate allowed. With Drew Brees at the helm, remember, this is 9 games versus 4 games. So this is Drew Brees with twice as many games, more than twice as many games as Taysom Hill. The offensive line let up also 9 sacks, 78 pressures, and only 9 penalties on 318 pass blocking snaps. That's a 25% pressure rate and a 0.03% sack rate. That is a very big difference in terms of the margin that we're talking about, to where Drew Brees over the course of 9 games was sacked once per game. Taysom Hill over the course of 4 games was sacked more than twice per game. It's a very big difference just simply having Drew Brees behind that offensive line as opposed to Taysom Hill. So the offensive line, if you're concerned about them, they themselves are aided by having Drew Brees as their signal caller, diagnosing all of the coverages, blitzes, everything coming from the defense pre-snap, and also being able to make quick-fire decisions after the snap as well. Now, in my opinion, this makes Taysom Hill better. This makes Taysom Hill a better asset to the Saints going into this game, the rest of the season, and the playoffs, as long as Drew Brees is able to stay healthy. Because now having Taysom Hill at quarterback on certain snaps doesn't tell you that they're going to run the ball. His ability now to be a factor is accentuated by the fact that everyone has seen that he can throw touchdowns, that he can throw the ball, that he can stand in the pocket, and that he is just as much a threat as a quarterback as he is a runner or as a receiver. To me, that helps make Taysom Hill even more of a threat going into the stretch run and then into the playoffs. One more follow-up piece for you as well. According to Nick Underhill this morning, the idea is that Taysom Hill will be able to be a part of the plan on special teams as well. This could be big for the Saints if they want to run any of those trick plays that we haven't seen so far this season, but also if they need him as a returner, since they're not getting much from Tommy Lee Lewis as expected, and Deontay Harris still dealing with his neck injury, though he was elevated to limited on Wednesday's practice. We'll take a look at some more of the injuries for the New Orleans Saints, get into our film notes for our Film Friday in just a moment, and then we'll wrap up the show taking a look at the 3 keys to victory for the New Orleans Saints. A packed episode continues here on Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, family, it is Friday's episode of Locked On Saints. So you know that means we get into our film notes on the last couple of games of the opponent, but it also means it's our final episode of the week. So don't forget to come back on Monday for either our Victory Monday or Sad Boy Monday, depending on the result of this week's game. Maybe you're feeling more confident. Maybe you're actually feeling less confident. Either way, we're back with you Monday through Friday, every single weekday here at Locked On Saints. Quick shout out to the Saints are marching in. Otto Cray, Hudat Wayne. Let me see if I can get this one right. MDiff BFNF, that's a complicated name, Arbro Tippytoe 100, and Cynical 21 for the 5-star reviews this past weekend. We shot up from 232 to 246. So 5-star Friday was very successful last Friday. If you plan on doing and helping out again for another 5-star Friday today, don't forget to throw your Twitter account, your Twitter handle in there so that I can also say thank you to you. And a big shout out to Nick on this one, who tweeted out and said, or rather, who left the review, started listening about 2.5 years ago and have never stopped. Makes me so excited about the next game for the Hudat Nation. It is really what I look forward to, and I love how you interact with us. And then he left his Twitter account, so I was able to say thank you. So that's super dope. I appreciate all of y'all for doing that. So let's get into our film notes here. I want to start off, you're probably going to hear some pages turning in the back. Y'all know me, I'm old school. So I wanted to start off by taking a look at a weakness on offense, a weakness on defense, and sort of what the hell do you do about Travis Kelce when it came to the Kansas City Chiefs. And the fact of the matter is that, let's start off with Travis Kelce, because this is probably about the worst news that I have for you. Travis Kelce, 5 out of the last 6 games, he has had over 100 receiving yards. He's caught 8 passes in about 4 straight games. And in the one game out of those 6 games where he didn't have 100 receiving yards, he still had 82 of them against Tampa Bay. So obviously he's a threat. To me, he's the biggest threat over on the Kansas City offense, of course, with the exception of Patrick Mahomes. But I'll take the lumps that come with trying to guard Tyreek Hill and just knowing he's going to have a couple of those big 40 plus yard plays. I'll take those lumps. What I don't want is the sort of like death by paper cuts that Travis Kelce can get you. And the thing about Travis Kelce that's really important is that he's averaging, and Deuce Windham pointed this out as well, he's averaging about 14 yards per catch but 5.6 of those yards are coming after the catch. This guy is already leading the NFL in receiving yards. Saints are about to take on a team that has two of the top five receiving yards leaders in the NFL. And Travis Kelce is right up at the top as a tight end. He's been absolutely spectacular. So I tried to look back and see when is the last time that Travis Kelce actually didn't have a bunch of catches and didn't have a bunch of yards. He had three catches for about 32 yards up against the Denver Broncos, but the Kansas City Chiefs still scored 43 points. They were, of course, assisted by a late touchdown, a one-yard quarterback run. They were also assisted by a pick six and a special teams touchdown in that game. So it just goes to show you that they can attack and that they can score points regardless of whether or not Travis Kelce is limited. But I would say that limiting Travis Kelce is still a very important thing. What Denver did that was really interesting was that they played a lot of cover two. So they were able to essentially use one safety over the top of Tyreek Hill, another safety over the top to help with Travis Kelce. And then they would play man-to-man underneath every now and then, but they would also do some five zones underneath as well, which allowed you to sort of keep your eyes in the backfield on Patrick Mahomes as he would roll out and things like that. Those rollouts are very dangerous, so keep an eye out on that. The Saints struggled with that early on in the season. They got better at it later on in the season, so we'll see if they're going to be able to continue that up against the Kansas City Chiefs. But a big thing about limiting Travis Kelce is going to be tackling him at the catch point. He's not catching a bunch of downfield passes. He's catching some of them, don't get me wrong, but his average depth of target is around 6 yards, around 7 yards. And so with that being the case, tackle him at the point of attack and then get him down to the ground, tackle him at the catch point. And so Malcolm Jenkins, DeMario Davis, Quan Alexander, CJ Gardner-Johnson, I'm sure is going to end up on him every now and then. Those guys are going to have to be able to take him down once he catches the ball and watch him over the middle of the field. And speaking of the middle of the field, we wanted to talk a little bit about the Kansas City, where the weaknesses are for the defense. And one of their biggest weaknesses in passing defense is now really, really important for the New Orleans Saints because Drew Brees is going to be your starting quarterback. They're allowing a 109 passer rating over the middle of the field, middle short. So in between the numbers, essentially within 15 yards is the way to look at that. Short left, so over to the outside the numbers on the left side, it's a 107 passer rating when targeted over there. And over the last three games in that area, that passer rating rises to 117. So that's big because that's where Drew Brees is going to look to do his work. And that's one of the reasons why in the next segment, I'm going to say let Kamara cook because we need to see it again. Over the last three games, Kansas City's defense has allowed a 74% completion percentage over the middle and short. And then if you open that up and add both the left and right, as well as middle short, then you end up with a 77% completion percentage allowed. So this helps having Drew Brees back. They've also allowed three touchdowns to only one interception over the last three games in the midst of that. And for the record, only one other touchdown has happened beyond that. Two other touchdowns have happened beyond that. One was deeper than 20 yards. The other was between 10 and 20. So big things for Drew Brees, big opportunities for Drew Brees should present themselves as Kansas City's passing defense is weak in the short, intermediate, and middle areas of the field. That's big when you're going up against Drew and Sean Payton and this offense. The other part that the Kansas City Chiefs tend to actually struggle in that's actually really interesting is defending the run out of 11 personnel. So when you have three wide receivers on the field, you tend to force defenses to go light and add nickel packages. So they take a linebacker off the field. They have a fifth defensive back out there instead, things like that. When they're when they're defending 11 personnel, they're allowing a 57% success rate, 5.2 yards per carry. That's key. And then five of their 11 rushing touchdowns so far this season, one of those might've gotten called back, but nearly half of their rushing touchdowns that they've allowed have come against offenses running out of 11 personnel. So that's going to be a pretty big one for the Saints as well, as they like to run out of that personnel look. And they also like to run with two tight ends on the field, which is another position that the Kansas City Chiefs struggle against, but we'll talk about that in our next segment. But to wrap up our film notes, I want to also take a look at one thing that the Kansas City Chiefs have struggled doing, which is their rush offense. Yes, there is a weakness for the Kansas City offense. They are one-dimensional, but they can win that way when they are there. Over the last three games, in terms of their success and their percentage of success over the league average, depending upon directional run. So what I mean by that is that either outside left, outside right, or between the tackles, either behind the left guard, center, or right guard, right? So you can sort of see all those different zones where a running back can go. There's a league average of success rate across the league, and then you can measure teams based on their success above or below that success rate. So for the Kansas City Chiefs, they have had a plus 46% success rate behind the left guard that's very good, that's 46% above the league average behind that position, 23% above the league average at center, and then 4% above the league average at right guard. Now, that sounds bad, but the good news about that, because of the fact that that's where they're most successful, is right up the middle. The Saints so far on the season have allowed only three flat 3.0 yards per carry when run against behind an offense's left guard, 2.4 yards per carry when run against behind the offense's center, and then they've allowed 4.2 behind the right guard. But remember, that's where the Kansas City Chiefs are operating at only 4% above the league average. So the run game should be manageable for the Saints in this one. But wait, there's much, much more. We still have to get to our keys to victory. We got three of them coming up here on Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You know it, your team every day. Y'all, I'm so excited to tell you about a new show that we have here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm not even fronting. Like, I'm very excited to tell you about this because it's all about betting. So if you're a betting person, you absolutely need to go and check this out. Betting on the Saints doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by our good friend, your boy Q, as well as handicapping expert and absolute genius Lee Sterling. Get the daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to Locked On Bets, brought to you by our good friends over at betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. So go ahead and check them out. But here we got three keys to victory to get through. You know what we just talked about here? We looked at the film notes. We saw where it is that the Saints can take advantage of Kansas City, what it is they have to do to limit Travis Kelce as much as possible. I think one of the best ways to limit him is, like we talked about with Denver, just keeping the targets away from him. That's going to be the biggest thing to do. That's going to be a huge task, of course. But you know Travis Kelce is going to be a problem. You know Tyreek Hill is going to be a problem. We talked about the run game for Kansas City. Don't create additional problems. You don't need them. Kansas City's going to create enough problems for you. So let's talk about what the keys are. Let's start off over on the defensive side. We're talking about not creating problems for yourself. The defensive line has got to get pressure in this game, and they have got to step up and really prove themselves after their game against Jalen Hurts. This is another game where you might not see 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 sacks or anything like that, but you need to see the pressures there. Look, pressure hurts Patrick Mahomes as much as you can hurt Patrick Mahomes. He only completes about 51% of his passes when he's under pressure. He also threw more of his interceptions when under pressure, so on and so forth, right? Pressure affects every quarterback, but does it make him, you know, absolutely fallible to where you're going to be able to take advantage of him? It's your best shot, if nothing else. It's better than not getting pressure on him. That is for certain. All but two of the sacks that Patrick Mahomes has taken so far this season have come to defensive linemen. It's going to have to be a big D-line game. So get the pressure on him and limit the run game. Get those sacks if you can against him as well. And keep in mind that the Saints defensive line, particularly on the edge, should have help with this because of the fact that Kansas City hasn't had either of their starting tackles with them at practice so far all week. Both Mike Remmers, who's their second string right tackle already, and Eric Fisher, their starting left tackle, are dealing with back injuries and haven't been able to practice Wednesday or Thursday. So with that in mind, Cam Jordan could be lining up against a third string right tackle. Trey Hendrickson and Marcus Davenport could be rotating in front of a backup left tackle. On top of that, you also have a backup tackle and a backup center who were both dealing with knee injuries, although they were full both on Wednesday and Thursday's practice. Still something to keep an eye out on, particularly when today's injury report comes out with game designations. I want to jump to something that I really harped on last week with Philadelphia that we just didn't get to see. Alvin Kamara got 8 catches in that game, but only 44 yards. We need to put Kamara in the positions where he can cook. Let Kamara cook. I'll do it again. I was on that soapbox last week. I'm on it again. But it all really comes down to this sort of like bigger notion, right? Spread the ball around. Get more targets in more areas. And this is a big part of what Drew Brees is inherently going to bring back to this offense. So, you know, let Kamara cook because you're getting him the ball, but also get the ball elsewhere. The Kansas City Chiefs right now, they are number 22 versus wide receiver twos across the NFL that they've played so far in DVOA allowed. So they're not very good against those second wide receivers. It goes further than that. They're also number 11 against tight ends. And I know number 11 is just outside the top 10, but also understand that the difference between the Saints at number 2 against tight ends in the NFL, hello, that's a good number, is minus 38.8% below the average across the NFL. Meanwhile, Kansas City at number 11 is only minus 5.8%. So that's a difference of nearly 25% between those two. So actually, it's exactly that. It's 26%. It's a difference of 26% success rate. So there's actually a pretty big dip there when you're talking about them at number 11. And then against running backs in the passing game, 31st in DVOA against. So they need to spread the ball around and keep that variety in offense that you usually see with Drew Brees. I think this is one of the biggest benefits to having Drew Brees come back in this game, is that it plays right into one of your strengths against one of Kansas City's weaknesses. Now, a big part of this conversation, of course, is going to be, how are the Saints going to be able to do all of this if they don't have Michael Thomas? Now, we mentioned we were going to update some injuries. This is probably the most important one. Michael Thomas did not participate in practice on Wednesday or on Thursday, so we'll have to keep an eye out for him, on today's practice and his game status on Friday. But either way, Kansas City has been number two here against wide receiver one. So something to keep in mind. If Michael Thomas isn't able to go, that's essentially the place where this defense plays its best ball, is limiting to that wide receiver. However, as we've talked about, they don't face many Michael Thomases over in the AFC West. Along with Michael Thomas, two more players have not participated in practice so far this week. That's Malcolm Brown over on the defensive side, as well as Nick Easton. The reason why I bring up Nick Easton in particular is because that means that Cesar Ruiz is going to have to start at right guard. It seems you can pretty much bet that Nick Easton's not playing. It's a concussion. He didn't participate on Wednesday and Thursday. Unless you're Allen Robinson, I haven't seen anybody ever do that and then play on Sunday. But we'll see exactly what happens. But having guys like Ryan Ramczyk and Andres Pete back to full participation on Thursday all helps with our third key and final key for this game, which is control time of possession. Kansas City has only lost one game, so talking about them losing time of possession in that one game doesn't really mean too much, but there is something to be said in this idea around controlling time of possession and keeping the ball away from Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, no one's going to argue with that, but if you look at that loss to Las Vegas, you look at the close wins that that Kansas City has had against Miami, Denver, Carolina, and the Los Angeles Chargers, they lost time of possession in each of those. And so what makes us think that the Saints could potentially control time of possession in this? Well, it's pretty simple. The Kansas City Chiefs right now are 26th in rushing defense right now, when you look at them in terms of rushing yardage in the NFL. And again, yardage only tells you so much of the story, but you can get the more granular information by looking at yards per carry, where Kansas City is allowing 4.7 yards per carry in run defense. So the Saints, like we talked about in the last segment, with them having opportunities to run, to limit the run game for Kansas City. On the other hand, they'll need to control the run game on the offensive side. So a lot of Latavius Murray, a lot of Alvin Kamara, the extended run game, passes in the flats, the screen game, all of that is a part of it as well. Keep that clock churning. You have the number one offense in the NFL coming into the Mercedes-Benz Superdome to take on the number two defense in the NFL when it comes to total yards. But you know you're going to take some lumps and you're going to take some bruises from Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You're going to take some lumps. You're going to take them. But if you can limit those lumps by controlling the ball on the offensive side and providing some lumps of your own, then you're in a much better situation. And that is a proven formula to work so far, at least in keeping the game close with Kansas City and giving yourself a chance at the end. Remember, Carolina had a chance at the end. Los Angeles Chargers had a chance at the end. Denver in their second game, they looked like they were going to have a chance at the end. Unfortunately, they didn't. Miami, they looked really, really good in this game for most of it. But the fact of the matter is that you have to keep it consistent all throughout. So it's not going to take getting two out of these three keys, one of these keys. You're going to need all three. Control time of possession. Spread the ball around and let Kamara cook and make sure that you apply that pressure where you can against Patrick Mahomes. Take advantage of the fact that they've got potentially a backup right tackle and a backup left tackle out there. We've talked about this with the Saints defensive line a couple of times already this season. So we said they're going to be out there facing non-starters. They're going to be facing backups, and they haven't produced. This is the game to do it. And this is a game really to just pull out all the stops and be aggressive. Go for it on fourth down. Throw in the trick plays. Hell, let Alvin Kamara throw a pass if you need to. I don't care, but I'm so excited for this game. With Drew Brees returning, I am just as concerned as everybody else, but it does make this game more exciting. It does make this game feel more like it's in reach for the New Orleans Saints, and we'll recap it all on Monday. I appreciate y'all, as always, for being here with us, for joining me every Monday through Friday, and if you're not, do it. Come back through every day. to catch all the information that you need. Enjoy the weekend and stay safe. Love y'all. Thank you very much, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked on Saints, and trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.